Ma. Sorry. That wasn't actually supposed to be happening right there.
A lot of talking lately.
My goodness. Yeah. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. It's daily now. Daily, every day, except like weekends, because we take the weekends off. It's me and Molly trying to make sense of, oh my goodness, what's going on.
Any given day. We may have made a tactical error. It wasn't even a tactical error. What we did was we were like, hey, I bet you guys have some questions. Like you might have some questions about things that are happening. And we've just been bringing the one topic each day. And so so we were like, email us your questions. And then we got like 100 at least.
And then you did.
Since, I don't know, yesterday. But I'm going to say it was the past week. But so clearly you have them. We are grateful, and so we've decided that at least one, I think Kai just made this on the fly yesterday, that at least one show a week is going to be essentially an explain-a-thon, and then you got even more excited, and so we're just we're starting that today.
Yeah. We're starting it today. We've got lots of questions. We could always use more. MakeMeSmart@Marketplace.org. So here's the first one. Hans Mulders. He says, I am curious to hear more details as to the $2 trillion bailout package approved by Congress. Parenthetical note, it's still not yet approved by Congress. My interpretation of a bailout is that money is essentially given by the federal government to businesses. However, I applied for assistance from the Small Business Administration because my hotel sits empty and all that was available were low-interest loans. So the question is, how much of this bailout is freebies and how much of it is loans to corporations? So first of all, I would actually, the nomenclature thing, I would call it a rescue package because we're not, it's not like bailouts. It's a rescue package for the entire economy. And I just want to get that out there.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, in the case of small businesses, it's loans. Like pretty much full stop. Now, some of those loans, it sounds like, and again, we're sort of caveating this with at the time that we are recording, this bill has not been passed, and I don't even think the final language had gone to the Senate floor as we are speaking at this exact moment. And so we can't be 1,000,000% sure they won't tear it up. However, what we know currently...
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm just saying. I don't know.
Yeah, no, totally.
That right now, it seems that if you are a small business, you can apply for a loan. That debt may be forgiven if you don't lay off people during the loan period.
Right.
But it is not. Is there any circumstance, Kai, to your knowledge, in which it's just like money? Like,
well, it's
airlines?
Money to individual. It's money to individuals, right?
Right.
And the money to airlines and corporations will come. Yeah, the money to corporations will come with strings. Like in for airlines, there will be an equity stake taken by the government that will then later be sold at a profit. So it's not just here's a gazillion dollars. And let's remember, just because everybody gets all hot and bothered about the financial crisis, all that money that went into the big banks, the TARP and those bailouts, the government got that back plus profit. So that. That's just important to get on the record.
That's a good note. That's a good note. But yeah, in very few cases, other than from what I can tell for consumers, it is not a check.
Right.
And then even the consumer amount is limited to, and I'm just going to throw this out here, an extent that I think will penalize some people in coastal expensive cities where they really might lose their jobs and have massive rent payments, but make over $99,000 a year, which sounds like a whole lot. But in an expensive coastal city, really isn't. Another question on the stimulus package, which is kind of like all anybody wants to know today. Fair enough.
Yeah, for sure.
Comes from Aaron Wilson in Mesa, Arizona. He writes, you mentioned how the stimulus package is real money that will require real borrowing to cover it. And says, one, who does the government typically borrow from? From whom? To cover such a large sum.
Grammar Nazi.
It's never too much of an apocalypse to be a pedant. Pedantic.
Yes.
In this, and two, in this current turbulent global market, will anyone be willing to lend us the money?
So let's go backwards first, right? Even in this insanity, even with the American government plowing $2 trillion into this economy, we are still the best credit risk out there. So yes, people will be willing to lend us money. How will they do that? To question number one. They will do it by selling treasury bills and bonds. That's what the government's going to do, and people will consume them. It will be large institutional investors. It will be foreign governments. It will be the American public. There will be debt sold, American debt, right, sold in the market, and it will be snapped up because we are the safest thing out there still and even so. So that's really not going to be a problem. And we should say here, just parenthetically, because I have said on this podcast before that the Federal Reserve is not real money. The Fed actually, you know what? Never mind. I don't want to go there. I don't want to get into the Fed being backstopped by this
okay.
bill. No, never mind.
But yeah.
So they're going to borrow it, like, and it's going to be
giant,
fine.
Right. There's not a bigger bank. Like, we will issue our own debt.
Yeah, you bet.
Like an ICO.
And a lot of it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right.
So Stephanie Wall, she is an independent managerial accounting consultant, or rent a CFO, as she puts it. And she has a question about how the stimulus package is going to affect gig workers. And here's what she says. I'm trying to keep up with what financial relief will be made available, which is like trying to keep up with the ball during a game of professional ping pong. But as a taxpaying gig economy worker, I'm not hearing about relief for those of us I'm not hearing about relief for those of us with. I'm not hearing about
so
relief
many shows.
For those of us without a traditional safety net. Are we included in the plans being proposed? I am so glad you asked, because I just today recorded an interview for Marketplace with Chrissy Clark, who works on our, I'm now told it's called a documentary podcast, which kind of is, The Uncertain Hour. And season four upcoming is in part about these independent and gig economy workers. And what has happened in this bill is the gig economy workers who are not traditionally eligible for unemployment benefits are being made eligible. They're not eligible because they don't pay into the uninsurance, to the unemployment insurance fund, but and nor do their companies. Now they are eligible. So that's really interesting.
And it was a late add, by the way. I mean, this was not in the version of the bill that went down last week. Time is starting to lose all meaning. Monday. And it was an ad, it sounds like, by Democrats. And it was also, we should note, at the behest of, at least, I mean, I don't know that it was a one-to-one, right? But we do know that Uber CEO Dara Khosrowshahi actually sent a letter to the White House and to Congress saying, I really think that this is an opportunity for us to establish a lasting safety net for gig workers, a thing that a lot of people have referred to as sort of a third way for employment benefits, which is kind of like a pool of benefits that would not necessarily classify them as full-time workers, but give them a version of a safety net. And but anyway, yes, as to this specific stimulus, yes. Surprisingly.
Do we have time for one more? We do.
I think so.
We've got time for one more. And I want to go to this tech one because it's been getting a lot of buzzy kind of coverage. And here it is. Source unknown, but one of y'all wrote this. There's been a lot of media coverage on the major streaming platforms reducing their bit rates in Europe in order to reduce their load on Europe's broadband networks. Why doesn't this seem to be an issue in the United States, Molly Wood? And does it have something to do with the way broadband is regulated differently in Europe in terms of net neutrality? Discuss.
Yeah, this is a very interesting question that might have a few more layers than we think. At first blush, it seemed pretty straightforward. European regulators went to these companies and said, can you stream in standard definition? That cry you heard was from like all the nerds in that one Reddit AV forum, including my brother, who were like, why go on in standard def? Kent from Seattle, thank you, Sam, added it in real time to our Google Doc.
There we go.
Wrote in and said that. But then there was speculation that it is possible that these companies, many of whom are in fact trying to get in good with European regulators.
Yeah, for sure.
Might have said yes, because it was sort of like an easy thing to fulfill. And opinions vary on the state of U.S. infrastructure. Like, certainly we're seeing some congestion happen. But there was an analyst call the other day where an FCC commissioner was on it and said, like, listen, ISPs are privately telling me that this is nothing compared to Super Bowl Sunday in terms of traffic for them.
Really? That's so interesting.
I mean, again, that's somewhat anecdotal.
And it's Super Bowl Sunday for 2 months straight, right?
Right. So, like, we have a lot of capacity. We really do in the United States. What we don't have is even and equally distributed access to that capacity.
Yeah.
But we certainly do have a lot. And so it's possible that Europe has a bit of a smaller infrastructure. It is also possible that some big tech companies are just trying to make a friend.
Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting.
And there's not really a way to know for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
All right. Well, there we go.
I don't know. What do you, yeah. I got, yeah. boom, right. 10 right. minutes. We did it.
There you go. Boom. You look, you promise you got to deliver. Yeah. So. Make me smart at marketplace.org.
Keep them coming.
Are there producers listening in on this line? Are we doing like a listener voicemail thing at some point, which we had talked about? I don't know. You don't have to decide now. That's just me thinking out loud. Never mind.
But you can. You can certainly send us a voicemail, I would say.
Okay.
And you can send us an email.
And yeah. Yeah. Sorry. So the voicemail is what your life is like working from home. Right?
Right.
That's it.
Definitely. And the key to all of this, by the way, is when you're sending us a question, don't forget to put questions in the subject line.
Yes.
And then we can filter easily, and we will answer them again next Wednesday. Wednesday Wonderings. I don't know. There will be a name. Or not. We'll just answer your questions on Wednesday.
Same bad time, same bad channel. All right.
That's right. Oof. And that is it for the Daily Edition. We will see you back here tomorrow. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson, occasionally on the fly in real time. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner, and our senior producer is Jody Becker.
Daniel Ramirez engineered today. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday. And Daniel Ramirez, the executive director of On Demand, is Star Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager is one Deborah Clark.
Amazing. And only.
There we go. God,
we still have so much music left. I love it.
I know.
We have like a little green tea dance party.
Here it is. Oh my God. No,
here
I thought
it
that
comes.
Was it. Oh, geez.
Oh no! This is a lot shorter credits than usual. Yeah.
Don't.
You gotta get the Oculus.
Okay.
Why would we want it? We got nothing but time. That was literally 10 minutes long.
We got nothing but time.
Nothing but time, friend. Man. Where you gotta be? A virtual happy hour.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.